Am I unable to change? How many of you ever thought that or heard that? Don't raise your hand, but if you're like me, you have. You thought, I don't know that I'm capable of even changing. I see other people that are great and do awesome things. I wonder, am I even capable of changing that? And I realize that people don't like change. They don't like things to change. They don't like their schedule to be changed. We woke up this morning, 4 a.m., my daughter had a fever and a snotty nose. It changed everything. I didn't like it. I have a Sunday morning routine. She, the diva, Miss Glamorous, as we call her, messed everything up. I don't like that. It messed my schedule up. I'm simple when it comes to food. Don't mess with it. I know how I like it to be prepared, and I know what it's supposed to taste like, and don't mess with it. Leave it alone. People have work schedules. They don't like that to change. And church, man, people don't like church to change. And family, right? Some of you, that was bad. That got more response than I thought it would. Things in our family, people don't like it to change. What about your holiday traditions? Try telling grandma you're not going to be there for Thanksgiving. See how that works out for you. And that's one of the reasons we got rid of, we're swapping around the 12 o'clock is because we got somewhere to be Easter Sunday, and that didn't matter if we had service or not. I'm supposed to somehow be in two places at once. Try changing those holiday traditions. For some of you ladies, y'all have had the same PJ Moo Moo things for years, hadn't you? You men laugh, but y'all got the same underpants in your drawer that you've had since college, right? It's now getting broke in, right? Ventilated is what I call mine. We don't like change. We hold on to stuff forever. We're creatures of routine. We're creatures of habit. We don't like that to be messed with. I mean, think with me about your normal day. Maybe your normal week. Think about that. I mean, for the most part, don't you kind of know if I say what's happening Tuesday? You kind of know, don't you? If I say what's happening Wednesday, Jeff, you'd say, we're going to be hanging out for an hour while the girls take dance class, aren't we? That's right. That's Wednesday. It's a routine. And I know, and even in a crazy routine, and even in a busy routine, it becomes routine. And we don't like for people to mess with that because change is this word. And when you hear it in a sentence from somebody else and it involves you, it makes you uncomfortable. Think about if your boss walks in on a Monday morning and says, we're going to be changing some things around here. Well, until you find out what that change is, don't you start emailing and whispering, and everybody gathers at the water cooler, don't they? What do you think it is? I knew it was coming. It makes us uncomfortable. We don't like change. I mean, some go further than just saying I don't like change. Some go as far as to say, I just can't change. It's not within me. I can't change. Some people even brag about it. They'll say, I can't change. I ain't gonna change, just the way I am. Deal with it. Y'all know people like that? Don't look at your husbands or wives. Because we know people like that. It's just who I am. Change is not something we enjoy. It's uncomfortable and we don't like it. But what I want you to see today, and I think you already know this, change is necessary. Change in all aspects of your life is necessary. C.S. Lewis once said, it may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It is harder for it to learn to fly while remaining an egg. We are like eggs at present, and you cannot go on indefinitely being just an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or go bad. Isn't that good? I mean, things are okay. Why would I change? At some point, we either hatch or we go bad. So think about something in your life that you would like to be different. Don't say it out loud, but we all have it. It was easy because January was just a few months ago, and you all made a long list then, right? and then January 5th, you threw the list away, if you made it that long. Think about something that you would like to see different, something you would like to change. Now, think about how it is that you're going to accomplish it. It doesn't matter if it's short-term, doesn't matter if it's long-term. The reality is, if you thought of something that needs to change next week, like the house needs to be cleaner, or something 10 years from now or 5 years from now, like accomplishing a half marathon, whatever it came, that's something you want to accomplish or change, whatever it is, you're not going to ever get there by doing the same thing you're doing right now. What you're doing right now is producing what you have right now. So you're never going to get to the next level by doing the same thing that you do right now. Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's insanity. And so we've got to understand that I'm never going to get in better shape while sitting on my couch watching my favorite TV show. That's what I do now. It's not working. I'm never going to get into better shape by getting up at the exact same time as I do right now and saying, I just don't have time to go to the gym. I'm never going to change my financial situation. You'll never change your financial situation by continuing to spend more than you have and save less than you should. You can't get there without some change. You can't, if you're in school, you can't change your educational grades by studying the minimum amount that you study right now. It doesn't change that. You got to understand, you'll never be better at anything if you choose not to practice like you do now. I wish I could play that piano. I wish I could play the guitar. I wish I was better at basketball. Click, click. I mean, do any of you guys know, I have people in my life, and at times I'm guilty of this. You know people who they just keep changing their ambitions instead of changing their habits? You know, last month they were going to play the guitar. How's that guitar coming? I've changed my mind and decided I'm going to play baseball now. Because it's easier sometimes to change your ambition, isn't it, than to change your habits. I mean, you've got this dream, this goal, but it's easier to change the goal and go, oh, yeah, that's what I'll do now. I'm gonna go start installing windows. That's what I'll do, right? It must change your lifestyle if you're going to get there. And so I've heard people say good things come to those who wait. Do y'all believe that? See, I don't either. I have this theory that good things come to those who work a little bit to accomplish it. That's what I believe. Martin Luther King Jr., he believed that too. He says, change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. And we all saw his struggle, and we also saw the change that he brought. It doesn't roll in on the wheels of inevitability. And so if we're talking about change, we have to see a spiritual change. And if we talk about spiritual change, all we have to do is turn to the Bible. The Bible is full of stories of life-changing experiences, of moments where people's lives were different, radically different, because of God. Abram became Abraham when he became the father of the nations. It changed his name and it changed his entire outcome. Jonah spent some time in the nasty belly of a nasty fish. But it changed his mind, didn't it? He went on mission for God and it changed everything about him. In the New Testament, we see that there was the healing that took place of lame and deaf and blind and dead people. Healing took place. This changed their life forever. They could see and they could run and they could be part of society and they could breathe again. It changed their life. Zacchaeus went from hated to loved. And the woman who was accused of adultery went from near death to being forgiven. We see guys like Saul who became Paul, and he went from persecuting those who followed Jesus to preaching about Jesus. And we see Simon who became Peter, and Jesus said, I'm going to change your name, but I'm also going to change your entire future. Your name means rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church forever. So we see life change, and we see that what happens, and we understand that change is necessary. It's necessary physically and mentally and emotionally and financially and spiritually. We know that change is necessary. If you're like me, you even love to hear stories of lives being changed, don't you? And that's why I watch infomercials. We've talked about that. I watch the P90X. I watch all the motivational stuff. I watch it because I'm like, that is so awesome. I even watch QVC every once in a while when they're doing, I mean, it doesn't even matter what the product is. They've got all these testimonials, and I'm like, that's so good. I love stories of change, whether they be emotional or spiritual, but especially spiritual life change stories. I hear it, and I love it. And so why is it that we would choose to not accept or work towards change when it's available? Because you know it's available. Why is it that when I said people don't like change, you all said, yeah. But when I say change is necessary, we all say, yeah. And then I say, but we don't do it, do we? And everybody goes, no. We don't change. Why would we not accept change that's available to us? Well, let's look at that from a psychological standpoint for just a minute. I don't think people run away from it just because they fear change. Okay? There's something more to it. And I was doing some reading on it this week, and I did a lot of different articles and different kinds of stuff. And the thing that I could pull from the majority of the articles I was reading from non-Christian sources is this idea that we get used to something, and subconsciously, we genuinely start to believe that the way we do things is the way it has to be done. Whether we like it or don't like it, whether it's something we hated our parents doing when we grew up, but now we do it, they always did it, we've always done it, we start to accept that it's the way that it has to be done. Therefore, it's comforting to us even if we don't like it. You with me? Therefore, we translate that as good. And so, the longer you or someone you're close to has done it, then the better it is in your mind. They actually did a study in the University of Arkansas in 2010, and what it showed was that people preferred things that had been around longer than something new. They took it to a group of college students and they said, we have this curriculum. We've been using it for more than 100 years. It's always worked for us, but we're considering changing the curriculum. Read through both of us and tell us which one you want. Almost unanimously, the college students chose the old curriculum that had been around for over 100 years, even though the new curriculum had less reading, less testing, and less work for the students. It was a survey, it was a study they were doing. It showed that college students took more work because in their mind, they've been working for 100 years. Let's not mess with it. I mean, they showed them things like trees. And they said, do you think that's a beautiful tree or an ugly tree? Half the group, they didn't give them any information about it, and they didn't like the tree. The other group, they told them it had been growing for thousands of years. And they loved it and thought it was the most beautiful thing they'd ever seen. They asked them if they liked things like acupuncture. Half the group with no information said, no, sounds uncomfortable. The other group was given the information that it was formed over 2,000 years ago, and they said, hey, we may give that a try. One of my favorites, because I just love sweets, is the reason we always have chocolate in the window, is they took them in and they gave them a taste test of chocolate. And they told them, they said, this piece of chocolate is from a European candy company that was formed over 73 years ago. They have been around for a long time. And so taste this, and you choose of all these chocolates, which one do you like the best? They chose the one that they were led to believe was the oldest. The other had no information. That piece of candy did not get chosen as the tastiest. If something in our mind that makes us believe, and they proved it in this study in 2010 in Arkansas, there's something in our mind that leads us to believe that the way it's always been done is better. It's across the board. It's subconscious. It's psychological. And so then when it comes to our Christianity, we start to wonder, we start to question, why wouldn't you change? Well, change isn't simply about embracing or changing to something new and unknown. See, change is about giving up something old. And that something old, whether we like it or don't like it, it's comforting to us. It's good to us. And it's about giving up what's comfortable and what's good to replace it with something new. And we think that this is kind of crazy, but yet this is the heart of the gospel. This is the whole reason the Bible was recorded for us, so we could understand this concept. Something new for something old. When we choose to follow Jesus Christ, what we're choosing is we're allowing him to take our old and substitute it with something new. This is the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Verse 16, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And Paul goes on later in Colossians, Paul goes on to explain in even more detail what it means to have new life. And hear me, we're not talking legalism right now. We're not talking legalism right now. We're not talking about if you don't do this, God won't love you. Or if you don't do this, you might not be a real Christian. We're simply talking about that when you come to Christ, there's something old that dies and something new that begins. And so Paul goes on here in Colossians chapter 3, and he begins explaining some of the things that will fall off in our new life, in our old, with our old as we walk into the new. Verse 2 says, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with God, hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Verse 7, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Verse 10 says, put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and do what? Become like Him. See, when I make the statement, I say I'm a Christian, or, you know, I follow Christ, or whatever cool word the young hip kids are using nowadays. They always try to change it. It still means the same thing. I'm an imitator, a follower, a little Christ, a Christian. When I make that statement, I'm making a statement of how Christ has changed me. That's what that meant. That's what that should mean. I'm saying Christ has changed me. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus, and Christ has changed me. I'm forgiven of my sin so that I can move forward and away from my sin. I'm free from my own selfish destruction of my life so that I can live out God's productive purpose in my life. I'm removed from my old self so that I can now live as a new creation of God. And Jesus died and he rose again and he did it for a purpose so that I might live. Jesus died so that you might live, and the life that he purchased for me on the cross is a life of change. It's a life that is completely transformed and a life that is completely changed. And I think too many people are being converted in the church. They're being converted to Christ, but there's not much evidence of change. They're being sold something that's simple, and it's an aisle, and it's a card, and it's a tier, and no, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. Sign this. Magic Jesus card with the magic Jesus pen. Then we'll send you to our magic Jesus class and maybe even dunk you in our magic Jesus water. And you're all good. And you can go do whatever you want to do. You're going to heaven. And I can submit my numbers to our association and everybody will tell me how good I am. I'm on my soapbox being bitter a little bit, perhaps. Thank you for allowing that. But we've been sold this conversion story of all we have to do is say a prayer. But when we follow Jesus Christ, I mean, a prayer is a good way. It's a good invitation. I mean, when you got married, right? When we did, I'm looking around and all the people that are married in here that I was either at their wedding or did their wedding or about to do their wedding, right? Is that still on? Y'all haven't changed your mind yet? Okay, awesome. Men about to do their wedding in about a month or chose not to do their wedding, you know? Sorry about that, Lou and Elizabeth. I was busy. There's something else going on. I'm kidding. And when you started that whole thing, it started with something really awesome, didn't it? I do. Do you? Yes, I do. But it didn't end there. I mean, when you said, will you marry me? And she said, yes. It didn't end there. That's when you started planning getting married and you started planning how to be married. And when you said, I do, it began with an incredible statement, a promise, a vow to each other. I will, I do. And then the real work started, didn't it? Then the real issues began. Then the real woman you married showed up. You don't always look this pretty, babe. What just happened? Good morning. Have you brushed your teeth this week? You know, what in the world just happened overnight to this beautiful woman I've been dating, right? And men, we're guilty of it too. It's just sometimes more obvious than the woman. It's like, well, you don't sleep in your makeup. Oh, right. Right? Then the real work starts. And this is Christianity. Whether you start it with a simple prayer, or whether you begin it in your bedroom alone by yourself, or whether it's you and God alone, or you and a group of people, when you begin this process of saying, I do, then the real work starts. Then the real challenge comes in. Then it's about you changing and adapting to being in a relationship with God. And many people are being converted, but there's not much evidence of change. And man, I experience way too many Christians that have simply changed their religious view. But they've not actually allow God to change who they are. They've changed their mindset. Sure, I believe in Jesus. Sure, I believe in God. Sure, I'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He died. Sure. If it'll get me out of hell, then absolutely. Man, you got it. I'll change my religious viewpoint. I'll even change my mind. I'll change a few behaviors. But the reality is that they've not truly allowed God to change who they are from the inside out. I mean, imagine this. Imagine I would need my car painted, and I highly recommend JMC Auto Works. You can see Jonathan Shore for that. And I want my car painted, and I go to JMC Auto Works, and I say, man, it's got some dings and some rust. And can you paint it? Absolutely, I can paint it. What's my cost? Here's your cost. Write the man a check. Boom, man, he's going to paint my car. A week later, I come pick it up. It's the same color, same rust, same dings. I got an issue, right? I need some new, no problem. I need some siding or some windows. And so I call my friend Jeff Gleason. And I said, hey, man, my siding is bad. It's 13 years old. My windows are, they're not energy efficient. And Jeff says, man, we can do it. All I need is a down payment. And I said, let me pay you in full. I'm going to write you a check right now. How much do I owe you? I give the man a check. I go out of town. I come back a week later, and my house is the same color. The windows are still faded. And he's gone, and I contact Chris Council Builds Decks. I'm trying to hit every small business owner that I can find. I need my car fixed. And I say, Joe, my car won't crank. And I drive to Kernersville to Joe's new shop. And I say, man, my car won't crank. And you go, no problem. And a couple of days later, he tows it back to my yard. And he's like, there it is. I'm like, you didn't fix my car. I paid for it. Nothing's changed. My car is the same color, and my siding still looks terrible. My car won't crank, and I pay Chris Council to build my deck or my steps. He did a great job on the front porch out here. You should contact him for all of your around your house needs. Right? I'm trying to help, man. Bad economy. I'm trying to help all our small business owners. And I pay them for change. And what I get back is exactly the same. Now, we'd take issue with that, wouldn't we? Man, I would want a refund. I would probably go and complain to everybody but Joe, because he's a little intimidating and well-armed, too. I would probably go complain. You would complain. I want a refund. Man, I paid for this. Nothing's changed. Imagine how God views us and looks at us when He says, I sent my son to pay the entire cost, the entire debt, and to pay all the ransom. And you said, I do. You said, I'll enter a relationship with you. I see nothing different about you. I see nothing. We like to get what we pay for. We like to see evidence of the job. And when I claim to follow Jesus, then there has to be some evidence of change, evidence of new life. The old me is dead. My new life in Christ is full of change because the cross removed this excuse that I'm unable to change. That's what the cross did. It removed the excuse of being able to say, ah, man, I like it in other people. I'm unable to change. The cross made change in our life more than a hope, more than something we dream for. See, the cross made change a requirement in our life. When we choose to follow Jesus, we're choosing to accept the requirement that something will change. We're not saved because of our works, but because we're saved, our works should change. Y'all follow that? You don't get saved because you became a better person, but there should be something about who you are as a person that changes because of what Jesus did on the cross. And Jesus died and He rose again to give us identity. We're not people who are unable to change. We're people who can't help but be changed. Changed into His image because of His love for us. And as we follow Him, we are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And I love how Sam Cooke, the old blues artist, said it many, many, many years ago. He said, it's been a long time coming, but I know that a change is going to come. And I think for many of us, we need to leave here today with that mindset. Maybe even get this a snappy song and get it in your head. We leave here today with that mindset. It's been a long time coming. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've never really allowed God to change who I am. And I know a change is going to come. I am who I am. I am one who is being changed constantly because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. Let's pray.